Hello, my name is Kayla Snyder, and you are listening to my podcast, The Staircase Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. This podcast discusses the details of the famous murder case of Kathleen Peterson that has been the subject of many podcasts, documentaries, and TV series. Famously termed The Staircase, this is a controversial murder case that still does not have a definitive conclusion. At the conclusion of this podcast, I will give my interpretation on what really happened to Kathleen Peterson. The details of this case were gathered from the 18-episode podcast Beyond Reasonable Doubt, hosted by BBC Radio 5 Live's Chris Warburton. Having already been slightly familiar with Kathleen Peterson's case, I decided to listen to this podcast to gain more insight. Throughout his podcast, Chris Warburton introduces the shocking story of Michael and Kathleen Peterson. He discusses what life at 1810 Cedar Street, Durham, North Carolina, was like, and what kind of couple they were. Warburton talks to friends and neighbors who remember the couple and how everything changed that one December night. Featuring clips from the chilling 911 call and interviews with Michael's defense attorney, the trial's judge, one of the jurors, and even Michael himself, Warburton thoroughly investigates the case and attempts to unravel the controversy surrounding it. The original podcast also addresses what life was like after the fact for those impacted by Kathleen's death and Michael's conviction. Warburton's podcast also features information about an interesting theory about the case I had no knowledge of before. That is, the theory stipulating that it was actually an owl that inflicted all of the injuries observed on Kathleen's body. Overall, this podcast was very informative and taught me a lot that I did not already know about the staircase murder. Kathleen Peterson, a smart, energetic, social, and overall generous person, was 48 years old when she died in a pool of blood at the foot of the stairs at her home in Durham, North Carolina on December 9, 2001. The events leading to her death are still up for debate even 18 years later. Michael claimed that Kathleen simply fell down the stairs in a drunken stupor. However, the medical examiner's report stated that Kathleen had been beaten to death and had lain in the Petersons' home, dying for about 2 hours. Let's start with a little bit of background on the Petersons. Kathleen was Michael's second wife, and she believed that the two were soulmates. They lived together at 1810 Cedar Street in Durham, North Carolina, in what has been described as a mansion. Their five children, Clayton, Todd, Margaret, Martha, and Caitlin, also lived with them. Clayton and Todd Peterson were Michael's sons from his previous marriage to Patricia. While married to Patricia, Michael and Patricia also adopted two girls, Margaret and Martha Ratliff, when their father died abroad and their mother died in Germany. Caitlin Atwater was Kathleen's daughter from her first marriage. Kathleen was a professional woman with a six-figure salary working for Nortel Networks. Michael was a columnist for the local newspaper and a best-selling author of war novels. When writing his novels, Michael would draw on his own personal experiences from when he served in Vietnam. Michael had goals to run for mayor in their town and always liked to present himself as the head of the family, making sure to emphasize this point. This view of himself was reflected in his children's behavior because they knew his love was not unconditional. They would always do their best to succeed and do what was right by their father. Michael's relationship with Kathleen was also not perfect. He was very controlling and began to try and control Kathleen as soon as he could. On the surface, Michael was very charismatic and has been described by members of the community as bright, funny, entertaining, and having a large personality. Underneath the surface, however, Michael was opinionated and tended to act like he was bigger than life. Eventually, Kathleen became the sole source of financial support for the Peterson family, putting obvious strain on her relationship with Michael. Kathleen had been known to have to walk on eggshells around her husband. These imperfections in the Peterson family were not public knowledge, however. The public saw the Petersons as a happy family and a successful couple in a beautiful home. This image, however, was shattered the night of Kathleen's death. This is a case with many different layers to the story, and it is fraught with surprising twists and turns along the way. Let us now review the timeline for the night that Kathleen Peterson died. On the night of December 9th, 2001, Kathleen and Michael were having a few drinks and watching a movie together. Their children were out for the evening or away at college. Kathleen was about to go out of town, and Michael was celebrating the film option of one of his books by drinking wine beside the pool and watching the movie America's Sweethearts together. Sometime between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., the couple ate dinner. At 9:45 p.m., one of Todd's friends, Christine Tomasetti, arrived to take him to a party. The two hung out at the house for about an hour, and it was during this time that Tomasetti recalled seeing an open bottle of wine in the Petersons' kitchen. After dinner, Kathleen went into the house because she wanted to check Michael's computer for a document being sent to her regarding work. At 10:40 p.m., Kathleen logs into Michael's computer in order to check to see if she had received a work document from a colleague in Canada. It is important to note that in order to access Michael's computer, she had to go into his room. Kathleen did this with Michael still sitting outside, not something she was normally allowed to do or something that she normally did. Around 11 p.m., Kathleen spoke with her colleague Helen on the phone, and Helen agreed to send her the document. Kathleen received this email but never opened the attachment. It is suspected that while on Michael's computer all this time, Kathleen had found information about the quote-unquote other side of Michael's life. After completing her work, Kathleen went back outside to rendezvous with Michael. The couple remained outside by the pool talking into the early hours of the morning until Kathleen decided to go to bed around 1:45 a.m. The Petersons' next-door neighbors, Brenda and Larry Pollard, were asleep and watching television when Larry heard a startling noise and asked Brenda what it was. The couple eventually went back to sleep, not knowing what had happened. This noise was heard after Kathleen had already headed back into the house. According to Michael, he remained out by the pool until 2:30 a.m. when he decided to head into the house for bed himself. At 2:41 a.m., Michael calls 911 to report what happened to his wife. In this call, Michael sounded panicked and seemed fervent and distressed. His voice was described as one containing sincere, ultimate sorrow, as he described for the paramedics the horrific scene at the foot of his stairs. The paramedics arrived at the Peterson house less than 10 minutes later, but Kathleen was already dead. According to the medical examiner's report, Kathleen suffered from multiple deep, complex lacerations and avulsions to the scalp, multiple small abrasions and contusions on the face, early acute ischemic neuronal necrosis, and a fracture with associated hemorrhage of the thyroid cartilage in her neck. Around 3 o'clock a.m., the police officers and detectives began to arrive at the Petersons' home, and the scene was reported as secure at 3:24 a.m. At some time between 4:15 a.m. and 5 o'clock a.m., Michael logged onto his computer, talking to himself about an email that was either on the computer or one that he needed to send. At 5 a.m., Michael calls his attorney, Carrie Sutton, and at 5:20 a.m., she arrived at the Peterson home. Moving on to the police's investigation. It was not immediately apparent that Michael was a suspect. The police's initial impressions of the crime scene did not seem to contradict Michael's claim that Kathleen had a little bit too much to drink and had tripped and fallen down the stairs. However, the results of the autopsy previously discussed and the amount of blood present changed their beliefs. Michael Peterson was eventually charged with the murder of Kathleen Peterson. Moving on to the murder trial itself. After the initial investigation conducted by the police, Michael Peterson was subsequently charged with his wife's murder. There was a lot of publicity surrounding the case, so much so that Michael Peterson had become a household name. This meant that when it came to selecting the jury for Michael's trial, potential jurors had to fill out a 100-question survey about what they had heard about the case and how they had heard it. They were also asked about various other topics, ranging from their background to their views on homosexuality, which we will understand the importance of a little bit later in this podcast. It took the criminal justice system 7 weeks to determine the 4 men and 8 women that had the privilege of hearing the Peterson case tried in court. During Michael Peterson's trial, The prosecution argued that he killed his wife due to two major issues in their marriage. The first issue was that the family was having financial problems. Michael was no longer generating a substantial income from his novels, and as a result, he could not afford to either support his two sons or the lavish lifestyle to which he had grown accustomed. Michael became dependent upon Kathleen's money to keep on living the way that he was used to. But when she threatened to take her money away from him, Kathleen became worth more to Michael dead than she was alive. The family was also having substantial issues with debt, and if his wife were to die, Michael stood to gain from life insurance policies and other avenues of revenue. The second issue was that Michael, in his own words, was bisexual. It is speculated that the information Kathleen found on Michael's computer the night she died pertained to his sexual explorations with men. It is suspected that Kathleen found pornographic images and discovered that Michael was looking for a male prostitute online. The problem for Kathleen was not that Michael was bisexual, but that by pursuing men, he was betraying his wedding vows by being disloyal. He had made a commitment to her and to be loyal and love only her during their marriage. This information about Michael's bisexuality angered her. It has been reported that at the time of Kathleen's death, Michael was in a relationship with a 26-year-old male escort who had been a soldier. The prosecution argues that Michael killed Kathleen in order to stop her from leaving him and exposing him as a bisexual. The prosecution stated that these findings were strong enough to establish a motive for Michael to kill his wife. The defense contended the prosecution's arguments with the argument that Kathleen Peterson was drunk and fell down the stairs, but also they used the speculation of the owl theory. The defense knew that the accidental fall could not have resulted in all of the traumatic injuries that Kathleen suffered, so they developed a theory that they hoped would be believable. The basis of the owl theory depends on the fact that barred owls were living in the woods by the Peterson house. It was explained that barred owls are aggressive and can be dangerous, and that they have attacked people on numerous occasions. The evidence of blood on the outside walkway leading to the front door of the house, exhibited in the police photos, and the large smear of blood on the outside of the front door frame, also shown in police photos, is evidence in support of the owl theory. The theory states that Kathleen went out to the front yard, perhaps to place the small reindeer seen in the photos of the scene taken by the police, and that a barred owl inflicted the injuries to her scalp. At least two of the wounds on Kathleen Peterson's scalp were in the shape of talons of a barred owl, as shown in the autopsy photos. The tiny wounds on Kathleen's face were consistent with the tip of an owl's beak, and a feather was also found on Kathleen Peterson's body. In addition to the feather, a twig was found in the dried blood near Kathleen Peterson's body. There were also numerous strands of Kathleen Peterson's hair, which indicated they had been pulled out, not cut, found in the dried blood on her hands. This could have indicated a struggle with a barred owl that was attacking her. Kathleen's head injuries are also not consistent with her having been beaten by a blunt object or on a stair, as she had no brain injury or swelling, no subdural hematoma, and no skull fracture. Of course, this theory does not absolutely prove it was a barred owl that inflicted these wounds, but this circumstantial evidence goes to show that it cannot be proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Michael Peterson was guilty of his wife's murder. After having heard the arguments from both the prosecution and the defense at Michael's trial, the jury found Michael guilty of his wife's murder, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment without the choice for parole. After giving you some background information on the Peterson family, the murder of Kathleen Peterson, and the trial and sentencing of Michael Peterson, it is now time for me to offer my opinion. I believe that the jury was correct in convicting Michael Peterson of the murder of his wife, Kathleen. While there are a lot of open ends to this case and nothing can be definitively known, I believe that the prosecution offered a greater case with a lot more concrete evidence than the defense. While the defense did offer a rebuttal for Kathleen's injuries, I do not believe that it was as sound or secure as the evidence that the prosecution was able to offer. In my opinion, there are still a lot of loose ends, as I had said before, and I do believe that there will never be a definitive answer to whether or not Michael Peterson was actually guilty of his wife's murder, but given the present evidence, it does point to Michael Peterson killing his wife. The murder of Kathleen Peterson had lasting effects not only on the Peterson family, but also on the community. The community reports that they no longer experience Kathleen's bright and shining personality, and they will forever grieve her loss. They experience a gaping hole in the community that can never be filled. The Peterson family experienced extended grief and periods of sorrow after Kathleen's death. Michael Peterson was also obviously affected, as he was sentenced to jail and is now living in jail. His opinion still remains that he did not kill his wife, and he continues to try and prove his innocence. Unfortunately, this leads me to the end of my podcast. The Staircase murder was a controversial case that still does not have any definitive end. I hope that you enjoyed learning a little bit more about the details of this case and that you are now able to formulate your own opinions about what happened to Kathleen Peterson.